Welcome to Under Lock and Key, news and commentary about prisons from the Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League and the Maoist Internationalist Movement.
Mumia Abu-Jamal gets a stay of execution, but the movement must maintain steam. A new study adds nails in Dare's coffin, and a South Carolina prisoner writes that prisons destroy family.
The U.S. incarcerates a greater percentage of its population than any other country, sending more black men to prison than college. The purpose of this program is to educate about and inspire activism against the American lockdown.
Former Black Panther and death row prisoner Mumia Abu-Jamal received a stay of execution on October 26, 1999. This stay gives the courts time to hear Mumia's appeal that 29 specific violations of his constitutional rights should cause a new trial to be granted. This stay was entirely expected and should not be taken as a major victory. Mumia was framed for the righteous 1981 killing of a Philly cop engaged in an act of police brutality. Someone else killed the cop, but the American system of injustice, backed up by the fascist anti-crime fever among the white, petty bourgeois and labor aristocracy, demands that someone die for the killing of a pig. These fascists wish to kill Mumia because he's a leader who generates public opinion against the system. His political views, including his agreement with Mao Zedong that political power flows from the barrel of a gun, was used as evidence against him in his trial and in the imposition of the death penalty. On October 13th of last year, Pennsylvania Governor Ridge signed a death warrant for Mumia, knowing full well that a habeas corpus appeal was about to be filed. With the state portion of appeals finished and the much quicker federal courts involved, Ridge stepped in to increase the political pressure on Mumia. So while the stay was expected, the criminal injustice system is steaming ahead, on track, to murdering this revolutionary leader of the people. While this legal struggle goes on in the unjust courtroom, we must build an even stronger movement in the streets. While few judges will be as biased as the original trial judge, the whole system is run by the pigs hell-bent on murdering Mumia. It is only the people in the streets that can force the courts to look at the facts and set Mumia free. People who see the injustice in Mumia's case must take the issue further than the liberation of just this one man. While the injustice system is holding 1.8 million people, we cannot afford to just talk about just this one. In a system where imprisonment is a political tool of the imperialists, all prisoners are political prisoners. The fight to free Mumia Abu-Jamal must be a part of the fight to overthrow the system of imperialist injustice. This is an essay by Mumia Abu-Jamal entitled, A Violent World. With Mumia's access to the media limited, this essay is read by the Revolutionary Anti-Imperialist League. See for yourself why the United Snakes wants to silence this revolutionary leader, Mumia Abu-Jamal.
A Violent World for Violent Youth by Mumia Abu-Jamal. For three millennia, our main social hypothesis has been singularly unsuccessful in reducing the level of violence. That hypothesis is the claim that the moral and legal way of thinking about and responding to violence, by calling it evil, forbidding it, and punishing it, will prevent violence, or at least bring it under control. 3,000 years should be an adequate length of time to test any hypothesis. Dr. James Gilligan, Violence, Reflections of a National Epidemic. The psychic ripples of Littleton, Colorado continue to radiate out across the nation as cases continue to arise of students either calling in threats to their school or writing threatening communications on the internet. Students have been either arrested or expelled for bringing weapons to school or threatening to do so in states across the nation. The event reflects the heightened fear and attention of school authorities, but it also reflects the higher incidence of threats coming from students who sense the vulnerability of their most hated adversary, school, and are reacting to this new sensation. The reaction of state and federal politicians is as ridiculous as it is depressing. More cops, tougher gun laws, more security cameras, and more metal detectors in America's schools. None of these things go to the heart of what actually happened in Columbine High School, nor will it likely prevent a depressed, deadly, and utterly suicidal youth bent on destruction. Indeed, there have already been school killing cases where young boys laid in wait on the outside of their schools and slew students as they left. Which of these political solutions would have solved this type of problem? What Littleton, Colorado reflects is something akin to a very real sickness of the soul, a coldness that comes from growing up young, unloved, depressed, and in a permanent funk of despair. It is a nastiness that is distinctly American. When I heard that the shooters of Colorado were young boys who felt that they were humiliated by school jocks, I thought of Gilligan's admonition on the impact of humiliation as a cause of violence. I have yet to see a serious act of violence that was not provoked by the experience of feeling shamed and humiliated, disrespected and ridiculed, and that did not represent the attempt to prevent or undo this loss of face. No matter how severe the punishment, even if it includes death. For we misunderstand these men at our peril if we do not realize they mean it literally when they say they would rather kill or mutilate others, be killed or mutilate themselves, than live without pride, dignity, or self-respect. While Gilligan is here discussing men who are held in maximum security prisons, he could just as easily be describing young men who are forced to go to society's schools, especially those who regard schools as places of psychological confinement or repression, as opposed to institutions which reflect the idea of freedom. But what can schools teach in the prison house of nations, except for the way of repression? As French philosopher Michel Foucault once asked, is it surprising that prisons resemble factories, schools, barracks, hospitals, which all resemble prisons? What is more insane than the President of the United States, an unofficial commander-in-chief of the NATO forces, talking about the danger of TV violence while soldiers under his command kill hundreds of innocent people and whitewash officially sanctioned murder under the name of collateral damage? What does the danger of video game-style simulated violence mean in the face of curling, acrid smoke rising from the ashes of Waco? Children, especially bright young men of this generation, see this and understand this. They are heirs of one of the most violent people on earth, and their spirits burn with the yearning to give voice to their dark urges. Regrettably, Littleton, although a morbid memorial to all that is fearful of how young America sees its tomorrows, will not be the last. When former U.S. President John F. Kennedy was slain, the late black nationalist Malcolm X warned, "The chickens have come home to roost." Littleton, while not the last, will not be the worst. By Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Study adds nails in Dare's coffin. On August 2nd of last year, researchers at the University of Kentucky released a report showing that DARE, or Drug Abuse Resistance Education, does not work. DARE is a popular and well-funded program by which police officers are put in schools where they teach about the perils of drug use. The real use of this program is the propaganda value of making cops look good. The program also affords pigs increased surveillance access in the schools. In 1987, Lexington, Kentucky put DARE officers in 23 schools before they ran out of money. With 8 schools in the city without DARE, this served as an effective controlled experiment. The value of DARE at preventing drug abuse was shown to be zero. Children in both sets of schools were equally likely to abuse drugs. But as reported previously, evidence is not hurting DARE's popularity. While 5 Massachusetts cities or towns have dropped DARE in the last few years, 93% of Massachusetts municipalities remain firmly within the DARE fold, according to Sheila Foley, the program's state coordinator. The researchers concluded that continued enthusiasm for DARE shows Americans' stubborn resistance to apply science to drug policy. The researchers complain that parents say, "My kids couldn't use drugs. They've been through DARE." More disturbing are the comments of one DARE pig, Bob Ramaki. He said, "The studies are more than canceled out by classroom experience. All the studies have a built-in problem," he said. "How do you measure prevention?" That's simple, with controlled experiments. But Ramaki does not get into the meat of the issue. The value of DARE to America is not in stopping drug use, but in the classroom experience. The most successful aspect of DARE is in making the police into officer-friendly, trusted by children. Children normally have no or only negative interactions with the police, but DARE attempts to change this. By further solidifying the bond between youth and the police, America hopes to train another generation to turn in their friends and contribute to the ever-increasing rates of incarceration. DARE fails at stopping drugs, but that's not the point. Its real purpose is public relations for the police and the police state, and that's something that American adults are willing to spend large sums of tax money for.
Strong family support has a lot to do with one's rehabilitation. During the American slave trade, the slave master went to all extremes to destroy family relationships. Mothers were separated from their newborns, fathers from their only child. Children were raised on plantations thousands of miles away from loved ones. The purpose of this was to destroy any kind of family bonding. The human being is a social being whose growth depends upon having a relationship with others. Family is what we're linked to emotionally and spiritually. That family support gives us the physical and mental vigor. Family makes us the individuals we are today and tomorrow. We can see these modern-day prison slave camps across this country. Particularly South Carolina slave camps have emulated the American slave trade by going to all lengths to ruin any kind of family relationship an inmate has with loved ones. The prison director of South Carolina slave camps has designed policies prohibiting conjugal visits, holding hands inside the visitation room. Inmates are forced to sit across the table from his wife. At one time, inmates were allowed to have food visits with family members during the holidays. The food visit promoted family togetherness. These policies are designed to destroy relationships with family members. Inmates are transported outside of their region, hours away from home, exclusively to destroy family bonding. Having that family bond gives one the incentive to change. You'll notice those who still have the family bond, regardless of hours of distance, their disposition is totally different from those who don't have that family bond. That family bond has a tremendous impact on the individual, and the modern-day slave masters understand this. The family assists in getting the inmate prepared for returning back to society. Some of you may say, "Those inmates deserve to be treated in that manner." I do understand what some of those inmates have done, and I can empathize. Something you must consider is that 95% of the inmates will return back to society if they're denied rehabilitation, and a great portion of that comes from family support. What is going to be the inmate's condition? Apparently the prison director doesn't care about the family relations, but you should. Many of those 95% could be coming to a community near you. Respectfully, a South Carolina prisoner.
This has been Under Lock and Key, a revolutionary anti-imperialist league and Maoist internationalist movement program about prisons. For more information, contact RAIL, P.O. Box 712, Amherst, Massachusetts, 01004, or email radio@mim.org.